Today we're going to begin a new series entitled Firmly Rooted. You know, when you think of a tree, you know, this past week we've had a lot of wind. When you think of a tree, you know, their roots go down deep. Especially if you've ever seen a tree turned over and you see the length, the width of the roots. They go down deep and they anchor that tree. So that no matter when the wind blows, that tree remains standing. And that's kind of the picture that I think of when I think of us. We need to be firmly rooted in our faith. We need to be firmly anchored in what we believe as Christians, so that when the winds of life blow, that we're not moved. We're just remaining the same. We're holding our spot in God. And so it's important that we understand what it is that we believe. And so we're going to take some time over the next several weeks to go over some of the things that we believe and gain understanding of what we believe. And I don't care if you've been saved, 15 minutes or 50 years. It's always good to go back over the truths that are found here in God's Word of what we are and who we are. I put together 12 lessons that we're going to look at major doctrines of the church. As believers, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it and be able to explain it to someone else. So it's really an important thing that we're looking at. You know, not only are we called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're also called to make disciples. And for some of us, we don't even know if we're discipled. So it's important that we take the time to understand what God has called us to, and also that we would go out and make disciples of others. A true disciple is one who not only hears, but one that is willing to use what they've learned and allow what they've learned to govern and shape their life. You know, it's not just hearing a bunch of word or doctrine, but it's putting into practice in our own life. I could talk to you this morning about love, 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 and what the Bible has to say about it. But if you never apply it to your life and you don't become a loving person, it means nothing. So that's what I'm talking about. As we look at some of these doctrines, that's kind of a scary church word at times, as we look at these beliefs, they should impact your life. They should be incorporated in your life as who you are. We see from the Word of God in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 12, it says, one of the reasons we look at the Word of God is to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God wants us to grow up spiritually. He wants you to mature and become an adult. He wants you to gain the full measure that He has put out there for us. And today we're going to look at the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible. You know, you have to start with square one. The Bible. Christianity 101, right here. The Bible, the Word of God. I want to grab my... I put together some notes in addition. We're going to have these available on our website. When you click on the sermon to listen to it, you will also be able to get all the notes there online. And we'll have them available for every lesson. In this lesson, I'm not going to take the time to read this to you, but this starts with how we got the Bible, how it came to us, why the Bible's important, the history of the Bible, how it was passed down and where it originally came from, and the translations and all the different things. It talks about the early Bibles that were printed from 1455 and the authenticity of the scriptures. This little packet will answer some of the questions that you might have about the Bible. It talks about the unity in the Bible, prophecy and different things, thoughts concerning the Bible, famous quotes of people that talked about the Bible. It gives a brief description of every book in the Bible, what kind of the flavor of what each book is about. I know sometimes people struggle when it comes to reading the Bible. They don't really understand different parts, and they wonder about who is this talking to or what's this about. Well, we just give a little description about each book of the Bible. Different ways to study the Bible, read the Bible, why we should read it. A little resource for you to hold on to. In addition to that, we're going to talk about it today. I believe that this Bible is God's way of speaking to you. I believe that the Bible contains the very thoughts of God Himself. And I believe that the Bible is more than just words. Say, more than just words. I believe the Bible is more than just words. It's not just another book on your bookcase. It's not just another literary work. However, there are some that will argue that the Bible is nothing more than just a literary work. I don't receive that. I don't agree with that. I believe it's God's words to us. It's His very thoughts recorded for us to read. There are some today that believe the Bible is nothing more than a literary work. These are the people that would say that, you know, you should read or interpret the Bible as other great literary works such as William Shakespeare. Foolishness. That's almost insulting to compare the Bible to another literary work. Others would say that we should interpret the Bible according to our individual experience or our worldview. Some would call that their biblical interpretations. That can't be anything further from the truth. I want to look at the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that the Bible is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And I want you to know that this Bible is without error. Say, without error. It's without error. There are no mistakes. There are no glitches or things that are recorded wrong. It is perfect. It is perfect. There are no contradictions in the Bible. It is inspired by God Himself. You need to be able to come to the conclusion in your own life that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. And you can know for sure. It has to be the final authority in your life. The doctrine of biblical interpretations is just the opposite of what the world might think. The world would say, you know, well, you take your own experience and you kind of use that as a filter to understand the Bible. Well, the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible tells us that the Scripture is of no private interpretation. Meaning that we don't make doctrine from what we think personally about a particular Scripture. Scripture is often interpreted by other Scriptures. The Bible is God's Word, and in today's culture, there's a move against the Bible. There's a move against the validity of the Scriptures. People can say, it can't be true. There are too many discrepancies. I think of the Scripture that says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. People are ignorant of what the Scripture says. People will say things like, well, it's scientifically impossible for a man to live inside of a fish for 3 days. Speaking of Jonah. You know, they say these kinds of things to discredit the Bible. They say, how can this book be true? It's scientifically impossible for a man to live inside of a fish for 3 days. And when I hear things like that, I would say, I would have to agree with them. It is scientifically impossible. But it's also scientifically impossible for an ocean to split apart in two and cross over it on dry ground. It's scientifically impossible. It's scientifically impossible for a virgin to give birth to a son. It's scientifically impossible for a man to walk on water. It's scientifically impossible for a man to be tortured to death, to be nailed to a cross, and come back to life. It's scientifically impossible. But that does not prove that the Bible is not true. It does not prove it. It rather proves that He is a supernatural, miracle-working God. That's what that proves. The Bible is filled with things that are scientifically impossible to prove. And if your God is subject to science, I feel sorry for you. Because God is so much bigger than science. These are the words of God Himself, recorded by men. People like to argue about little tiny things throughout the Bible. I remember hearing some of these arguments before. Well, you know, this particular book says that there was, you know, this number, and this book over here says that there was this number of armies, and they don't match. There's discrepancies. You know, these things are recorded to convey a truth. And if you go back to the original book of Numbers, you'll see the official record, and you can know exactly how many were there. But sometimes it's spoken of in other places, and it's kind of in a general sense. We see things like they argue about the color of Jesus' robe. And again, they bring up these little minor things that have no value of anything, but they bring them up to argue and say, see, the Bible's not correct. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, it speaks of Jesus' robe as being scarlet. And in Mark's account, over in verse 15, he talks about Jesus having a purple robe. So was it scarlet or was it purple? What color was it? Well, I think that depends on you. I remember in 2015, there was a picture that went around the internet. How many of you remember this? What color was the dress? And people were arguing online. It's black and blue, and some thought it was gold and white. And people were arguing back and forth, and there was this whole debate about what color the dress was. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with how you look at color. How you see color. If I were to say what color is the rug, well, some might say it's plum, some might say it's purple, some might say it's kind of a grayish, you know, tone to it. People see color differently. And really, does it really matter what color the robe was? No. But people like to, I'm just using this as an illustration, that people like to argue little teeny insignificant points of the Bible to discredit it. Now, certainly it doesn't matter what color the robe was, but people use these things and they try to build a platform and they try to chip away at the authenticity of the scriptures. And it's really kind of devilish because the Word of God is true. And just because someone sees something as purple or scarlet, it doesn't really matter. It's their perception of color. And so there are many things in the Bible that we can look at that might look like an apparent contradiction, but the Bible is in complete harmony with itself. God's Word has been under attack from the very beginning. You remember back in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the devil came to tempt them? The very first attack, what did the devil say? He said, "Did God really say?" He was attacking the Word of God from the very beginning, which leads to what Satan, you know, went on to say, that you'll become like God. So when you begin to decide which of these passages is inspired and which ones are not, you become God, and you are not God. Let's make that clear. He is God. I believe that every word of this book, whether I understand it fully or not, it is true. Every word of this book is true. I choose to believe it. I choose to believe it. The Bible is not limited to my finite intellectualism. You don't have to understand it all to believe it all. You can choose to believe it. I believe it's true. I believe the enemy is working overtime to discredit the Bible. He wants to cast doubt on the Word of God. He wants people to think that this is not actually the Word of God. It also allows people to pick and choose doctrines, pick and choose what they want to believe about it. Well, I believe this part, but this part's a little outdated. I believe this part, but this part's not for today. I don't think that's okay. Certainly there are things that are custom of the day. You have to understand who the Bible was written to, that you have to understand the context it was spoken in. Some things are recorded in the scriptures, and they're telling a story, they're telling a parable, they're telling an illustration. But some things are literal, and some things are just to illustrate. You have to understand the writing of the scriptures. The Bible is the most important element in our Christian walk. It's the foundation for everything that we believe. everything that we practice as believers. We need to have God's word in us every day. It's interesting as you look at culture today, people will say, well, you know, God's okay with me living like this because that's kind of out of date. That part of the Bible is out of date. No, it's not. Sin has never come in style. Sin has never been part of God's culture. And just because people don't agree with something in here, they just kind of write that piece of it off and say, well, I'm not going to hear that. I still love God, but, you know, he's going to have to accept my lifestyle. No, he won't. You need to line yourself up with his word. You need to come into agreement with his word. The Bible is, the Bible is the most important piece of our spiritual belief. Just as we eat physically every day, we have to feed ourselves spiritually every day. You know, when you don't eat, you might feel weak and tired. You might feel sluggish. Well, the same is true spiritually. If you don't feed yourself, if you don't eat spiritually every day, you're going to be tired and sluggish and not so quick. You know, I remember when our kids were little, we have three kids, and when our kids were little, it was a challenge to get them to eat right. When we were younger, we were trying to do everything right as parents. And we would try to make our kids eat right, vegetables and, you know, meat and, you know, different things. And our middle child in particular was very particular in his eating habits. And, you know, my mother used to tell me that it was payback because I was a fussy eater growing up. And it wasn't until I went on a mission trip that I got delivered from that. But our middle son is very particular and would hardly eat anything. He would always eat bread. Bread was his main staple. And so, you know, everywhere we went, we had good friends that would have us for dinner, and they would always put a loaf of bread out there because that would be what they would eat. And we had a joke, you know, there's vegetarians, there's vegans, and then we were breaditarians. And so our kids would just eat the bread. And so, of course, they've gotten better over the years, but I thought of that this week, and, you know, bread is really kind of the sustenance. It's kind of symbolic in our life. It speaks of a nourishment in our life. We find in Exodus, the 16th chapter, when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, God provided for them food and sustenance to keep them alive. I want to read verse 4. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" You know, God wanted to provide for his people, so he would rain down bread from heaven. I believe that it wasn't, you know, raining loaves of bread, but rather it was things that was grains that they could gather and make into bread. And so we find here that God gave his people manna. You know, the word manna means what is it? Everything is not so super spiritual in the Bible. The word manna means what is it? They didn't know what it was. It's like, what is this stuff? And Moses had to tell them that it was bread. And they had to go out every day. And notice what the end of that verse says, that I will test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Meaning, will they obey me? That they had to go out and gather this grain every day. They couldn't just go out and say, I'll get a bunch for the week and I'll be good. No, because it would spoil. They had to go out daily and get what they needed. They couldn't store it up and say, well, I don't want to go tomorrow or the next day. I'll load it up and get it all done and I'll be good. No, it didn't work that way. They had to obey the way God told them to do it. And I believe that's what the Lord was checking in. Will they listen? Will they obey? Will they do what I say? Well, we're the same way. We have to have the word. We have to have this bread every day in our life. And you can't do it either. You can't store it up for the week and say, I'm good. No, you've got to have a fresh supply every day. You got to have a fresh supply every day because it nourishes you. We need to have that bread in our daily life. Doesn't Matthew 6 tell us, give us this day our daily bread, right? We have to have that word on the inside of us every day. Psalm 68 verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily load us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Daily, daily. As you spend time in the word, the Lord will load you up daily. Not for the week, every day. Every day. God wants to speak to you every day. But you have to feed your spirit man every day. And you do that by reading the Bible. By reading the Bible. As a pastor, you know, many times people will say, what Bible should I read? And that's such a great question. You know, there are groups of people that promote a certain kind of Bible. You know, some believe that you should only read the King James 1611. You know, it's just that they live and die by it. And they'll argue every morsel of it. But let me just tell you a little bit about Bibles. There are no original Bibles from the original writings. There are none left. There are some from the 4th century. There are pieces and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there's different things that authenticate the scriptures to us. But there are none of the original writings from the apostles themselves. They're no longer in existence. Every Bible we have is a translation. It's a translation. And some Bibles are what they call paraphrased. You understand that the Living Bible, the writer of the Living Bible took the original translation and paraphrased it so that his children could understand it. And that's a wonderful thing because he wanted his children to understand the Word of God. So it's called a paraphrased Bible. The English version puts it into modern day language. The Living Bible is a good paraphrased Bible. Bibles are broken down into two categories. I want to give you a quick Bible lesson here. Translations go back to the original language, to the Greek and the Hebrew and some Aramaic. And they're broken down into two sections. One's called exact equivalency, which translates word by word. Word by word. And then there's dynamic equivalency, which translates the phrase or the thought. Let me give you a couple illustrations. The ones that do dynamic equivalency would be like the New Living Testament, the NIV, the Message Bible. These are all conveying thoughts rather than word for word like the King James 1611. They're all the Word of God. Some are translated word for word. Some are translated thought for thought. Some are put into today's language so that we have better understanding. And in my opinion, one is not better than another. You know, I had someone come to me and they were under the persuasion that they had to read from the 1611 King James only. And they were frustrated because they didn't understand it. They couldn't get around the these and the those and the thous. They couldn't get into the Old English language. And they were having struggle trying to apply it to their life because they didn't understand it. And I said, get a Bible that you understand and read it and apply it to your life. But also know the differences between the Bibles. The King James 1611 version was translated for King James. It is a very accurate translation. It's one of the most reliable translations. And I'm not discrediting it at all. I use it often. But you need to be able to read your Bible and understand what it says and put it into practice. And I get a chuckle when I hear people arguing about translations. They think that's the only translation. Well, the original language wasn't written in English. How could it be the original? How could it be the only one? It's a translation. It's a reliable one, but it's a translation. And the fact that you're arguing about it is that tells me that you've missed the whole point of what the Bible says. Irony. I primarily preach from the New King James. You'll hear me preaching from the New King James, which is kind of a just a newer language on the King James Version. It's a very reliable translation. This is an NIV. I carry that too. You need to understand the differences between the Bible. Let me give you a quick illustration. If you're having trouble understanding a passage of Scripture, you might want to read a dynamic equivalency, one that translates the thoughts. If you're doing a Bible study and want to understand a particular word, you might want to take the exact equivalency, which breaks down word for word. It's just having an understanding. Even in our own lives, we use these kind of ideas. Let me give you what I'm talking about. My wife and I are very different in the way we communicate. It doesn't mean one of us is right. It doesn't mean that we can't change or that we, you know, but it's helpful to understand that there's differences between us. I'll come home from work and my wife might ask, "How was work today?" And I might respond, "Good." I would be an example of exact equivalency. One word to communicate my thought. Good. And she, on the other hand, is an example of dynamic equivalency. I might say, "How was your day, honey?" "Well, I got up at 7 this morning and I did my devotions and then the dogs wanted to go outside and I had to let them out. And then I had breakfast. I had eggs and bacon. And then I had the phone rang and I had to talk to three people today. And then, okay. Dynamic. She's expressing her thoughts through many words. Again, just understanding the differences. We need to stop being so nitpicky and rigid in our thinking and understand that there are differences between the translations. But the main point is that you read it. The main point is that you feed your life on it. The main point is that you use different types of Bibles and translations so that your life is rich and that you have a good understanding of what God is trying to communicate to us. Allow God to speak to you every day. And He can do that by you reading your Bible every day. Just like you eat food every day, you need to read your Bible every day. The Bible is not only food as bread, but it's also what's going to sustain you. It's sustaining bread. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Let's read there. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" There you have it right from Jesus, that we're supposed to live by the words that come from the mouth of God. Jesus was quoting Scripture here. He was quoting, really, Deuteronomy chapter 8. If the Bible is just a literary work, you know, we could hear Jesus say, "To be or not to be? That is the question." You know, Shakespeare didn't write that yet, but, you know, it's the idea. You know, Jesus quoted the Word of God when the enemy tempted him. And he defeated the enemy every time with God's Word. The Word of God is powerful. Over in Luke, the 1st chapter, it talks about the Word of God is not void of power. The Word of God is powerful. It has the power to transform your thinking. It has power to transform your life. It has power to break chains of darkness off your life. It has power to bring you up and out of darkness. It has power in your life. And you need food to sustain your natural body. You need the food of the Word to sustain your spiritual body. Many people are dying today of spiritual malnutrition. They do not know what God has said. They have not spent time in His Word to feed their faith. They have not spent time in the Word to renew their mind and change their thinking. They are dying of spiritual malnutrition. They practice good religious traditions, but they ignore what the spiritual food of the Word. We have to have God's Word in our life every day. Isaiah 55, verse 2. "Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Don't spend your time and energy on things that don't matter or benefit your life. That's what the prophet was saying. Don't spend your time and energy on things that don't matter. Pay attention to what is good. God's word is good. God's word is good. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What's the most important thing that you can do every day to prosper? Meditate on the word of God. And that word prosper doesn't just talk about money. It's not just about being a millionaire. That's not what it's talking about. That word prosper means to break out, to break forth, to succeed. You can break out in your marriage. You can break out in your parenting. You can break out on the job. You can break out in different areas. Come up and break out and succeed. That's what it's talking about. But you have to have that word in your thought life, that word in your heart. God wants to speak to you every day. The word of God is God's true bread. John 6:31, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And in verse 48 it says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We need to partake of this bread every day. We do that by spending time in his word every day. In John, the 7th chapter, Jesus preached his most unpopular sermon concerning that he was the bread of life and that you had to partake of his flesh and drink of his blood. And the people didn't understand, and they got grossed out. And they said, and the Bible says that many of them turned and stopped following him. And he turned to his 12 apostles and he said, are you going to go too? And Peter said, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Every time we read the Bible, we partake of Jesus. That's what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about. Eating his words, consuming him through the word of God. One of the names they call Jesus, he is the incarnate word. We see John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Speaking of Jesus. And verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the word. When you read this book, you take in Jesus. You take in Jesus. If you want more of him, get into the book. Get into the book. We talk about it all the time. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read a chapter a day. Read the Bible. I must sound like a broken record. I must say it almost every time I preach. Read the Bible. You have to read the Bible. There's no shortcuts. There's no skipping it. There's no way around it. You have to spend time in the Word yourself. You can't get enough on Sunday morning. That would be like trying to collect manna for the week. It's not going to last you. You need to have a fresh impartation yourself. The more you read the book, the more you'll become like Jesus. Jesus will get in you in a greater way. You'll start to talk like him. You'll start to think like him. You'll start to act like him. And the rest of us will say amen. You have to spend time in the book. We have an autobiography by God himself, right here. We have the answers to everything. We have the answers to everything, right here. Right here. Read the book and allow it to change your life. Be teachable, be open, be correctable. Allow the Spirit of God to teach you and instruct you and change you and transform you into who he wants you to be. Read the book. Feed yourself spiritually. You need to do that. I want to just take a moment and pray for you. I want to remind you that if you can get these online, as we put the sermon online, that you can click on the section, it'll say notes, and the notes will be there for you. Also, if you don't have a computer or that's not your thing, you can stop by the information center and pick up a packet. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Father, that you've given us your word, O God, that your word is forever settled in heaven and earth. It will never pass away. Father, we purpose to be doers of your word. We purpose to feed ourselves spiritually every day. Lord, give us a desire. Increase our desire, Lord, for your word. Help us to understand it. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to be doers of it. Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise and honor today. And we thank you, Lord, that we're men and women of your word. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.